All right, thank you. You know, I don't know if I should say this or not, but anyway, I was watching Glenn Beck last night. Is that all right to watch around here? Okay. And he was interviewing Jerry Falwell Jr. and an author of a book that he was, highlighting. And I think what had happened was he had gone to Liberty as a speaker and was offered or given an honorary doctorate, because he made a reference to that on the program just briefly. Well, I think I was just awarded an honorary doctorate. Dr. Reisner got off and says, "Come on, Dr. Biden." So there you go. Anyway, it's good to be with you. You know, all of life is interesting, I think. I think you ought to live it from the time you're born to the time you die and enjoy every part of it, even the aches and pains. And I'm getting old enough to have some aches and pains. But life is fun. It's when you live it for the Lord and when you enjoy Him. The other night we had our graduation, and after the graduation service, one of the graduates was given a little party by her family, and they had it on campus. And so I went by after we finished up at the gym, and as I walked in, you know, the main thing is I wasn't hungry, but I was thirsty, so I wanted something to drink. And two 13-year-old boys were back pouring the drinks and having things for you, and they had a Pepsi Light or Pepsi Zero, whatever it is, and a regular Pepsi, and I really wasn't too interested in one of those, and one of them handed me a can of Mountain Dew. I said, "Oh, that's great. I'll enjoy that." And so, but for some reason, and I don't know why, maybe some of you can clue me in, but they thought that was great that somebody my age would be wanting a Mountain Dew. And I don't know if that made me cool or what, whatever. Anyway, it must have signified that I wasn't dead yet or something. So they began to talk, and the conversation got around to grown-ups that still had fun. And as they were talking, and they were talking about certain of the grown-ups, you know, by name, I knew who they were talking about. And you'd have thought these were old people. But they were all in their 20s. And I was thinking, oh boy, what do they think about this one? Anyhow, but we do like to have fun with our young people and our students. And I always enjoy traveling. That's my privilege. They have to endure my preaching, but I get to enjoy their singing every time we go out. And I enjoy their testimony and their enthusiasm for the Lord. And before I forget, Jerry, did you bring some CDs with you today? All right, so there, Jerry does have some of his CDs with him. I think you'd enjoy them. I use them on our radio program that I have in Orangeburg. Periodically, we'll feature some of his songs, and Founder Press carries some of the CDs. And fellas, if you need something to keep on hand for when you get in the doghouse, just get a couple of these on hand if your wife likes music, and just pull one out and, you know, use it as a gift when you need that particular gift at that particular time. I always try to keep, I call them peace offerings, and I try to keep a lot of them around so that when I need one, I can go grab it and say, "Here, sweetheart, this is what I got for you." It may work. If not, you'll enjoy some good music. So there you'll have those if you would like to have those. Now, we came this morning to praise the Lord. And I hope that you have, as you've been listening to the music, I trust you've been making melody in your heart. Now, I think it's been a while since Dr. Blank has been here. And what I'm going to ask if a couple of you students would mind passing these out. And to those that are here, and I'll explain what they are. Dr. Blank came up with this program called TNT several years ago when he left the president's office of the denomination and began serving at the college and helping with fundraising. And I'm just going to leave it with you this morning. If you are currently not a part of what we call our TNT program, that's basically 1,000 knitting 10. I like anything that starts with a T, that's fine. But if you've not been a part of that, we would encourage you to do that. It's based on the premise that a lot of people doing a little bit goes a long way and does something big and something great for the Lord. And so we encourage you to read over it. If God lays it upon your heart to be a part of that, if you'll just fill that out, either hand it to me today or mail it in, Dr. Blank will respond with a certificate, and I think you have some envelopes that you can use that'll make things handy for you. But we trust that you'll be praying for us and supporting us in any way that you can. As I was thinking, you know, our college has been in existence now for 54 years. Some of you may remember, or you may have had parents that were involved with the founding of the school and the college. It was begun in Greenville, South Carolina, moved to Aiken, South Carolina, and then 49 years ago, moved to Orangeburg, South Carolina, where it is now. Now, that's a long time to be serving the Lord and to be put and being faithful in His ministry. In fact, Brother Adams, were you at the Aiken campus or the Orangeburg campus or both? Both. And so you've had the benefit of his ministry many years, and others that have, through the years, that have been either graduates or students of the college. And so the college has had an impact here, and we praise the Lord for that and trust that you will recommend us, that you will encourage us and support us and pray for us, and we certainly appreciate your sharing Dr. Reisner with us. There are a couple of things, and I'm not going to have a long message. I'll just share a few things that are going on at the college and maybe have a scripture verse to share. But we look at the college ministry, and we basically see three prongs, two of which we're really hitting and working on this past year. One is our continuing ed program. Now, we've had a certificate program for several years. In fact, it predates my coming back to the college to work in this last decade. And that's basically where a student would come and take Bible courses. It's a one-year certificate in Bible. It does not lead to a degree, but you do complete a year of Bible courses and receive a certificate for that. Now, what is taken can be applied to a degree later on. And we've had that program for several years. But this year, and working in conjunction with Jim Jones, one of our pastors out in Nashville, Tennessee, we've developed what we call the Continuing Education Program, or the Wesley Institute. It's a non-credit program, and we actually take the ministry to the churches, to the areas, and enroll lay people and those that are interested in moving towards ministry, a license to preach, or some of our pastors that have their bachelor's, but they want to go ahead and work towards getting what they need for ordination as elders. But primarily it's designed to provide training for lay people in local churches. And we already have these set up in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Maryland, and Tennessee. I think we're working on getting something organized in South Carolina. And I think we have over 150 students already enrolled in that particular program, and we're still working on talking with individuals both inside and outside the Southern Methodist Church. Because our material is Wesleyan Arminian, and there are different groups in addition to us who are interested in having some Bible training in some core teachings and practical teachings from a Wesleyan Arminian standpoint. And so perhaps that's something that may work here in the future, not only as an outreach to the community, but also to help some of you as you seek to serve the Lord in the ministry here. We can all learn and all study and improve our skills in serving the Lord. Then we have our regular baccalaureate program on campus through the evening and day classes and online classes. In fact, Jerry is taking an online course at the moment. He's also taken some courses on campus. And then this year we're restarting our graduate program, our Master's in Biblical Studies. And we're excited about that. I think at no other time in our college's history have we been better prepared to offer a master's degree in a fifth-year program. We have four on our faculty with earned doctorates. Dr. Reisner is one of them. And I can promote this all I want to, because I won't be teaching in the graduate program. I'll teach in the undergrad. We'll let those who have their doctorates teach in the graduate level program. And so I know that it's a program that those of you that have your bachelor's already would benefit from if you wanted to get some study and preparation in that area. And particularly as God blesses your ministry here, and you have perhaps some of your young people or some from the community that feel called in the ministry, called to serve the Lord, and desire and need some of that training. So these are some three areas. We're always pressing to move on. My desire, as we went through some of the experiences we've gone through in the last couple of years, and I was trying to look to see how can the college be an effective tool for our Southern Methodist Church. How can we be practical and helpful? And these were some of the areas that God seemed to bring to mind: the continuing education program and the graduate school program, areas that would be taking our ministry where it's needed and where we trust it'll be some practical help. And so we trust that you'll be praying for us to be successful in this, and that the college ministry will continue to do what it's been doing. It's been supported by God all these years. I remember 30 years ago when, about 35, 36 years ago, right after Debbie and I got married, and I wound up teaching for 3 years on the faculty. Debbie was teaching at Marshall Elementary School, and I got to know the principal of that school. And one afternoon, as I was swinging by to pick her up, I guess I'd gone into the office, we were just sitting there chatting, and Mr. Ellis was talking about the college. He said, "How many students do you have?" So I told him, and he said, and he began asking some questions, and when I finished, he says, "I don't see how you do it." I said, "What do you mean?" "I don't see how you have a college that size and you continue to minister and be able to do what you're doing." And my answer to him is the same as my answer would be to anyone today making that same comment. We don't do it. God is the one that has raised up the college. He is the one that has provided for it and is providing for it and is using it. And our task as individuals is to be in the center of His will, to do what He leads us to do as He does. Now, as a believer, and I just want to finish or close with this particular thought. We'll be quick. As a believer, one of the things that we need to keep in mind to be successful in serving the Lord and to have the victory and the joy in our life that we ought to have, regardless of the circumstances that we face, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. That's what makes us different as individuals than anybody else. Now, we have a risen Savior. We have a Savior that invites people to come to a personal relationship with Him and a personal relationship with God. We don't have a Savior that asks you to blow yourself up and kill other people. You know, we don't have a leader or a prophet like that that calls people to do that. We do have a Savior that is God. He's God the Son, and He asks us to give our all for Him, but it's always to help other people, not destroy other people. And then we have a risen Savior, but we have a Savior who introduces us to the Father and then gives to us eternal life and implants within the heart of every believer the Spirit of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the living God, if you know Him as your Savior. And what He wants to do is to fill us with His Spirit. And we need it. God's commanded it. In Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says that we're to be led, it tells us to be filled with the Spirit of God. Not to be drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. To be under the control. It's the command of God. What He commands us to do, He enables us to do. And it's possible. Acts 2:4, we see that the disciples were to wait for it, and God did give what He promised to them. It's our privilege that we have. In Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So it's our privilege. It's something that we ought to possess. After that, you received, in other words, when He tells us to be endued with His power, with His Spirit, then we can serve Him. And He says, when ye shall receive power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. So it's something that ought to take place. It is our loss if we don't have this relationship with the Lord. We miss out on His blessing. We miss out on all that He has for us. In Ephesians 4 and verse 30, listen to what he says. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. We don't want to grieve Him. We want to enjoy that great privilege of being filled with His Spirit and His love. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we see that we need it, and we see that we can have it, and we see that as we do, then we have the power and the opportunity and the grace to live for the Lord, to do what He wants us to do. And then, of course, the problem is we need it. We need to avail ourselves to it. It's not automatic. Now, when you trust Christ as Savior, He plants the Holy Spirit within your heart. But being filled with the Spirit is, of course, is a conscious decision that we make, just as we make a conscious decision to receive Christ, to allow Him to have full control of our heart and over our life. And, of course, we need to acknowledge that need. We need, it's the answer to the indifference that we may face in our lives, the discouragement that we may face, the temptations that we may face. It's the answer that we need and the power that we need in order to serve the Lord. But we could say a whole lot more about the Holy Spirit and His ministry and what He wants to do in your heart and your life and what the blessings that we can have. But I hope this morning that through the music your heart's been stirred and blessed as you think about and as you were listening to the praise of the Lord. I trust as we've taken a few moments to look at some scriptures that you realize the joy that can be ours as Christians, no matter how old or young we are, and the contentment that we can have and the grace and the strength that we can have to face whatever comes our way in life. And also to enjoy the Lord, to actually enjoy our relationship with Him and to enjoy God. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We pray that the Holy Spirit will indeed fill each person that's here, if He doesn't already. And Lord, we pray that as He does, that we'll be Your instruments that can be used for Your glory to draw people to Christ, to a saving relationship to Him, and that can be discipled for You. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.